All right, so let's begin with 1 Peter 3. I'm going to read the theme verse used for this year's Women's Bible Study, 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. Do not let your adornment, how you make yourself attractive, be merely outward, such as arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, our inward condition, with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. As our introduction to this year's study, Heart of a Woman, before we begin looking at the character sketches of different women in the Bible, learning from their examples, good and bad, as God shows us healthy and unhealthy hearts, our first lesson is about the power of influence. Again, the power of influence. Influence is a powerful thing and can be used for good or evil. And our influence upon others always stems from the condition of our heart. They are paired, they're joined together. Let's begin by defining the word influence. It's the capacity to have an effect on the character, behavior, development, or direction of someone or something. The capacity to have an effect on the character, behavior, development, or direction of someone or something. God, as a stewardship, has entrusted us women with an incredible capacity for influence. One of the greatest contributions we as women can make during our life is influence. One of the greatest hindrances we as women can cause during our life is by our influence. Influence is a powerful force, and it can be used for a great blessing or for messing things up. One of the main things we will see in our character studies of women in the Bible as we learn from each woman each Monday. God knows and shows us repeatedly that the behavior of women equals influence. This becomes evident from the very origin of human existence with the first two people. God, in the beginning of all things, exercises his supreme wisdom for what is best for humanity before the devil had defiled and distorted God's original plan of what's good and right. Genesis 1:27 declares God created the first two humans, one male and the other female, with purposeful gender differences, unique to being male and unique to being female, with distinct male and female natures to fulfill different roles, being masculine and feminine. These were meant to complement one another, help humanity flourish and be stable, indicating the great necessity of both sexes for life's balance. We need men and women. God's word is clear in its teaching that God has entrusted unto men in the family and church the role and responsibility of authority. Also evident in Scripture, God has enabled and entrusted women with the power and capacity of exercising influence. Influence is an extremely powerful force, can determine what unfolds in life situations. Our influence can inspire great things to happen, or our influence can instigate big issues, and it can cause major problems, depending on how we're influencing, what we're saying, what we're doing. We can overlook the impact our influence can have, thinking, oh, it's not that valuable, in helpful ways or in unhelpful ways. At other times, in selfishness, we subtly but knowingly use our influence wrongly. God portrays in his word this reality, that women have profound influence in life. We have influence on other women, on men, on husbands and children, and in situations, in your workplace, within your family. For this reason, God advises us to seek to maintain a right heart condition. Foremost, our heart condition is what determines the kind of influence we will have. Let me repeat that. Our heart condition is what determines the kind of influence that we are having on others. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Our heart condition determines if either pure water or polluted water is flowing out. So whatever you're pouring in to your heart, that's what's going to pour out. God, understanding the power of a woman's influence, advises women about such. 1 Peter 3, 3 3 and 4, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. God, who created females, understands our nature and inclinations and how we are wired. He knows you best. God advises, don't just be concerned with outward beauty alone, physical appearance only. Rather, endeavor, as God's daughter, to let beauty come from your inner self. Be intentional about trying to develop and display an attractive heart condition, a beautiful inward spirit that is gentle, not forceful, nor pushy, acting ladylike, learning how to be quiet and sweet, not overbearing and opinionated. God, whose opinion matters most, finds our inner beauty the most valuable and useful. The reason? God knows the inner condition of a woman is actually the most influential. Inner condition is what influences our, what does it influence? Our attitude, right? Our thinking, our decisions, our words, our behavior. It all affects all of that. Matthew 15, Jesus declared, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and sinful acts. These things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." He shows the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart that influences all else. Same holds true in a good way. Out of a godly, pure, good heart condition comes good and godly thoughts, right acts, helpful and inspiring words. God desires that we operate with this understanding and let this direct our priorities. In the same way a woman innately knows her physical appearance, image, and beauty, that's enhanced by how she dresses and how her hair looks, it does have an influence upon men, other women, who also we look for their approval. We crave for it, right? Why? Ladies naturally focus on looking presentable and want to be attractive. God wants us to realize and remember our inner condition, our heart and temperament, actually has the superior influence and can actually be more influential and impactful. We know the context of 1 Peter 3 is actually instruction to help advise wives specifically, to understand the power of their influence in relating unto their husbands and constantly dwelling together with this man, continually interacting in close relationship. She actually has a huge opportunity to have influence upon him and can affect good change. You could be his biggest cheerleader, or you could destroy him. That's your choice. Listen to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even some do not obey the word. They, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Peter had just told the servants, to keep being respectful and submissive to their masters, even if they were harsh and treated them poorly. For in so doing, they would by their good conduct have strong influence on their boss, make them see their own error. They would become ashamed that they had behaved badly. I saw this in action in York. It's so awesome to see God really do something, but I had a really good, she became like family to me and a grandma to my girls in York, and her husband had cheated on her early in life, and he wasn't a believer, so she divorced him. They got divorced because he wanted to run off with someone at work, and she still loved him. She got saved. She never married. She just walked with the Lord and still was in love with him, and he came back and said, "I'm sorry," and wasn't a believer, and she married him again. And I watched her for 10 years love this man with her action, not her words. And he got saved. And he's walking with the Lord. Now that is powerful. That is, only God can do that. To allow her, to give her the strength and the grace to be able to forgive and to love him and to, you know, God had bigger plans. And sometimes if we could just get out of our own head and know that his ways are not our ways, he does have a better plan if we just would trust him. In the same way, he tells wives to use their influence with their husbands, even if they have a husband who does not obey the word of God. Maybe he is unsaved, just like the story I told, or a husband who is a weaker Christian and does not take seriously living by God's word, or even living wrongly by not obeying God's word. Maybe he's backslidden and you're more on fire for the Lord right now and want to be serious about your walk. That she, without using her words, saying things to him to point out all his errors, complaining, criticizing, nagging, by her strong, godly conduct in living for the Lord, showing love for Jesus herself and displaying the fruit of the Spirit, that she cares about living right, may by her godly conduct win over her husband to what's right, all by the power of her personal influence. Letting God's design of using her life's influence have an impact to affect things. She can use her influence in an extremely helpful manner. Influence is opportunity. Ladies, the general spiritual principle in 1 Peter 3 holds true for all of us women. I know some of you are like, well, I'm not married yet. But these are good notes before you get married. You know, I would have loved to have known all of that, you know, just to be taught all of that. We know our physical appearance has influence. So use good stewardship here. Do we put as much emphasis on cultivating inward beauty as we do outward appearance? God desires we grow in inner beauty. He recommends that, ladies. Act like a lady. We cultivate a disposition that is gentle, sweet, tender, kind, and caring, an attitude that's meek, helpful, supportive, peaceful, encouraging, and respectful, not acting harsh or abrasive, cold, or unkind, contentious, critical, or disrespectful. The Word of God shows us various ways and occasions women have extreme influence. This is to instruct us about the reality that we can and will have influence, to warn us of unhealthy influence, the danger it poses in harming and hindering, and inspire us to seek to use influence well. Eve influenced Adam to listen to her idea instead of obeying what God told him. I think back when the Lord was telling my husband, stirring in him to come back here, and I didn't want to have it. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to listen to him. I didn't care. We were happy, comfortable. I loved our church family. I loved living in York. I loved my job. I loved the kids' school that they were at. We were comfortable. And I didn't want to hear it. But boy, if I didn't keep having my quiet time, where would we be? I kept having my quiet time, sitting before the Lord. And the Lord said, he just kept changing my heart, softening it. And he said to me, I remember, I'll never forget it. You will stand before me one day. He's yours. I gave him to you for a little while. But he's my shepherd. He belongs to me. And I might be doing something here. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know we would eventually move, or I just didn't want to do it. But I thankfully, I was submitted to the Lord, and he softened my heart, and I said, okay, I can start. I can pray. I'll pray about this. So thankfully, I didn't have him listen to my idea, because my idea was to stay. I would have never came. Sarah, and that wasn't God's will. God's will was for us to come. Sarah influenced in both right and wrong ways. She influenced her husband to stop waiting, right? Have you ever had that? Stop waiting and just do whatever it takes to get her desire. Thus, Sarah influenced him to act in his flesh so she could get what she wanted, whatever that was. You fill in the blank. Later, she advised him wisely, do not let his human reasoning and strong desire cloud his judgment and decisions, but to have courage to do the right and hard thing, to follow God's will. Moses' mother, I don't know if I could have done it, used her influence to preserve her son from evil forces, ensure he would thrive in life, sacrifice things personally as a mom to be able to invest into God's calling and purpose she saw in her child's life. Her influence set the course for him being used by God. Deborah influenced people to stop living in fear and to honor God, to stand up against evil, then inspired men to become the leaders they were destined to be by design. Instead of taking over the role of passive men, she empowered men with encouragement. Abigail used her respectful and wise advice to solve relational tension, avoided a battle. She used her influence to stop the devil from ruining what was God's plan and his best. Naomi used her influence as an older woman to give wise and godly counsel to the younger woman named Ruth, to help her with decisions and relationship guidance. Esther used her influence to speak truth and warn of great error, stopped evildoers. The book of Proverbs spends multiple chapters warning men of the dangerous influence of women. There are women out there who want to destroy people. I know of a youth pastor who was phenomenal, married, happy, with kids. And there was a woman in the church, yes, in the church, who just took him down, got him to sleep with her, destroyed him. And after it was over, she said, "I knew I could take you down." That's scary, right? Unsubmitted to the Lord, right? Wicked. What kind of influence was she? She was not having her quiet time or seeking the Lord, or God was not on the throne for sure. That's the dangerous influence of a woman. Proverbs, you'll find repeated two times. It is better to live on a corner of a roof than to share a house with a contentious woman. A woman can become so difficult. I know, we're stinkers, aren't we? It's amazing Jesus loves us. She drives a man away from her in frustration. Proverbs 7 speaks of an ungodly woman seeking to manipulate a man, saying, by enticing words, she caused him to yield. She, with her words, got him to yield to her, to disobey God, and to enter into a sinful behavior. Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to the bones. Ooh. The point is our influence as a wife can add great value and help to empower our husband, or our shameful conduct can cause him pain, loss, and handicap, or ruin him. Timothy's mother and grandmother, I love this little grandmother in there, influenced him to know the Lord early on, that she ensured he knew God's word. They impacted many lives for good by sending out godly young men into the world. Philippians 4 find two women who had relational issues that arose between them, not resolving it. The influence of their attitudes and the ways they were speaking polluted the whole church atmosphere. Remember this, women. We equal influence. Women equal influence. How are you influencing? And you may say, I'm not married anymore. I'm a widow. Or I'm too young. I'm not married. Can learn this, but who are you influencing? Friends, children, co-workers? There's always someone, especially if you're walking with the Lord, someone's watching you. Question we might ask ourselves tonight, what kind of influence will we have amongst our sphere of influence? Take an honest inventory. What kind of influence are we already having upon others? Is our influence helping or is it hindering? Are my attitude, my actions, and my words helpful, or are they harmful? What are we allowing to most have influence upon us? The TV, the worldly radio, our worldly coworkers, worldly patterns, emotions and thoughts. Our emotions can be strong, can't they? They can almost make them in your head like they're right. They're not. Opinions of others, maybe how we're being treated. These will affect our attitude and thinking, feed our desires, our priorities, how we operate. What we allow to influence our hearts will determine the condition of our hearts. The wisest thing we can do is allow our heart and mind to be influenced by the truth of Scripture. Psalm 119 speaks repeatedly of the power of God's word to influence us properly. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of your word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 emphasizes the same. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, useful, and valuable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Ladies, the reason we put the time together to gather like this is we believe in the influential power of God's word to instruct us to identify and correct our error, to empower us to live properly, and second, the influential power of the Spirit, operating amongst us as we fellowship, as we share and pray, doing life together with one another as supportive sisters, as God intended. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be isolated. There's sisters here that want to be your friend, want to encourage you, want to pray for you, want to love on you, that we might want to get coffee or chai, that we might stir up love and good deeds amongst one another, that we might be a good influence to each other's lives, that we may even help to protect and deliver one another from bad influences. May the Lord use our time to make us women who let the Lord work in our hearts and know the power of our influence. Let's pray.